The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Don't you love that song? I just love that intro. I'll tell you what, you guys, welcome, welcome. And whether you are listening to us on your favorite podcast, iTunes, iHeart, I don't know, Spotify, maybe you're driving, maybe you're sitting on your stoop watching us live, maybe you're cooking, I don't know what you're doing, but we are so glad that you are here and I hope you enjoy tonight's show. I've got some amazing guests popping in and out. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, which is always, you know, we just go with the flow around here. So I have been dedicating the month of November every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the book Mayhem to Miracles. And I've been so honored to be a part of that, a contributing story that I also wrote. It's a personal story about my youngest son and I kind of battling a couple of medical diagnoses. So that was always, that was fun, but we did it. And so if you decide you want to pick up this book, you can hop over to peggywilms.com, my website. You can see any of the radio shows, any of my previous interviews. Got some more coming up. We're going to take next week off for Thanksgiving, but we will be back at you on the 30th and on the 7th. Oh, that was a lot of words. So, hey, I want to bring on my guest, Sharla. I love your name tag. Okay. Moto G Power. Now, she's tried every mode of, just every mode of communication to talk to us tonight. Everything except for smoke signals. Right, Sharla? So, Sharla is here. Charpentier. I've got Teresa Velarde. Barbara will hopefully join us. Sharla, go ahead and unmute there, you amazing gals. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi. Hey, so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. Hey, Charlotte, welcome. Welcome back. How are you, girl?
Good.
You're good.
Not like technology, but we'll make it work.
Hey, we'll make it. We'll make it work. We'll figure it out. It's 2021. We're supposed to know everything, aren't we? They say it's always user error. I'm like, okay, whatever. But so tonight we're going to talk about some amazing stories, you guys, transformation stories of hope. We're going to talk about some breast cancer stories, survival, trials, tribulations. We're going to talk about overcoming some alcoholism and some glimpse of life after life, kind of, you know, don't you think so, Teresa? I just made that up. That's kind
of cool. Yeah. And yeah, it is life after life because there is something beyond this. And I saw a little bit of it.
You did see some of it. I know. So, hey, let's just, since we have Charlotte here, let's get the party started with her. Did you guys bring your mugs? You know how I always kind of tease you guys to bring some sort of mug. Oh, you did.
Right, I don't have mine.
Hey. I'll drink enough for you. I'm triple fisting, so I'll have some sips for you if you need me to. All right, so let's talk about. Oh, that's really cool. Oh, you guys can't see that. That's a butterfly-ish drinking. Oh, I like it. I like it. All right, you guys, we're gonna chat with Sharla here, and I love her story because she talk about full circle. This girl, I'll tell you, let me read her bio for you first. Sharla Charpentier is a lawyer and a recovered alcoholic who shares a passion for writing and very creative children's books, a love for teaching, family, traveling, venture, and all the world's amazing stories that are out there, creatures that are out there. We all have a story to tell, don't we, Sharla? So you were a mother of four, count them out, artist, writer, poet. I'm going to keep going. She created the Love Llama character and co-authored the Love Llama and Friends series with her cousin Monica. Is it Kirkies? Kirkus? Your cousin?
Kirkus.
I didn't do too bad. So welcome, girl. I mean, we want to talk about going from being an attorney to writing children's books. I'm super excited. And the title of yours is An Alcoholic's Progress from Mayhem to Miracles. So welcome. And tell us a little bit about how you're doing today, headed into the holidays, and about your story.
Yeah, I'm doing great today. You know, really, I'm excited for the holidays, even though it's a little overwhelming. A mom of of four, you know, Santa duties.
What ages are they, girl?
7, 9, 12, and 15. My oldest just turned 15.
May the Lord be with you and also with you. Wow. Yeah, so you're getting ready for the holidays. How are you feeling with being interviewed for your story in this book and sharing with people that you were going to be sharing this story? How did that come about?
I have to admit that it makes me a little nervous. You know, it's tough to be vulnerable and put your story out there. And yeah. I think it's been a good process for my recovery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always think if I can help someone by telling my story, then that's a good thing.
Take us through your growing up a little bit, because you remind me a little bit of, I don't want to label you, but kind of the perfection syndrome, and, you know, whether you put it on yourself for expectations or others on you, and you just kind of carried it. But take us through, you know, what went on through those years, and then how you headed into your profession and what got us here today chatting.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely have perfection syndrome. Absolutely. I think for me, it was kind of, if I'm perfect, then there's less strife at home growing up. If I'm perfect, then I can kind of do whatever I want on the side, you know, and it's a lot of stress. And unfortunately, my coping mechanism for that stress was alcohol. And then the same idea with perfectionism followed me through school, law school, you know, being a mom, just putting so much pressure on myself. And it just continued to build. And the alcoholism continued to build. And it was, you know, that was kind of my only coping mechanism. I didn't know any other until I found a 12-step recovery program, until I found my higher power. And now my life looks completely different. It's just a lot of miracles have happened in the last few years.
Right. Absolutely. You've been through, you went ahead through college, you had a relationship, you had your four children, and then you went through a relationship, some learnings there, as we all do. And you talk about kind of a codependency type life, which makes sense. All of us are kind of an addict, not to the extreme level of street drugs and all of that, but whether you're workaholic or sexaholic or alcoholic, we all have some sort of level of addiction to certain things. But would you say that pleasing others or codependency, like how being a perfect mom got you to the place where you said one day enough, like enough's enough of this? What was that day like?
When it finally, I mean, it had been affecting my children. I didn't think so. I thought I was just hurting myself. When I could no longer deny that it was affecting my family, that's when I said that something has to be done. And it wasn't until I started the progression of recovery that I was able to switch that to, I need to do this for myself.
Right. How long has it been since you've been on this recovery path?
I have not had a drink for over 3.5 years.
Wow.
That was after 25 years, you know, of drinking.
So I've been a coach over 30 years, and we know that, you know, even if I help people transform and get some weight off, often they then take their coping skill to something else. They may become, you know, gamble a lot or whatever. What is the biggest thing for you? Is it your writing? Is it your creative side, your right side of your brain that you allowed to kick in and be enough? And because you're fighting, you went through the professional world too, very left brain, very high expectations, being an attorney. So how did you transition where writing your books brings you so much joy and you're making yourself happy, doing your own gig?
Yeah, I think that I started looking at my inner authentic self, you know, that inner child. And when I started thinking about that and started thinking, what do I actually want my life to look like? That's when the creativity, which I had had as a child, kicked back in. And I said, well, there's, you know, no time like the present to make that part of my life happen.
Right. Are your kids a part? Do you share your kind of your visions or your concepts with the kiddos, or do you get it down on paper and hand them the published book and say, what do you think, guys? What's that process for you with your writing and your children?
They have absolutely been a part of the process. Yeah, they've given us feedback on the manuscript, feedback on the illustrations, feedback on this board game that I'm developing. And I mean, it's for children, so I feel like children feedback is probably the most important.
Absolutely. So how are your family and friends? Like, are you still in the professional world? Are you still an active attorney?
I am as of the last 3 weeks ago, probably. I took a break. I mean, I had done it for so long. And when the pandemic gave me an opportunity to take a break from that, focus on my children. I mean, you know, I had to be a teacher and a mom. And it also gave me the opportunity to go forward with the dream of writing these children's books. So for me, there's silver lining for the pandemic. But now it's kind of like, all right, I need to find a balance and do career type, you know, lawyer gig again for who knows how long.
Right. Nice balance. What else do you do other than, I know you're doing your 12-step program and I know you've picked in the right side of your brain. What are you doing for your own personal self-care? And, you know, are you eating better or working on sleep, meditating? What are some of your personal practices that you could share with people that you're doing?
It's still a challenge. Mm-hmm. It really is. But I will say that prayer and meditation is a big part of my life, as well as sleeping. I really try to focus on sleeping and eating and just those simple things. Exercise, I haven't been as good about that. That's always a struggle for me. But those things, it really matters.
Absolutely.
I have a therapist. You know, that's an important part of my life. Helps me with codependency. I look at it as, it's just proactive. It's just having that outside objective feedback that you, because you can't see it yourself sometimes.
Right. We miss some of our own red flags. I developed a course about a year ago called Go for the B, Break Up with Perfectionism and Win. And I've believed for a really long time, I would rather everybody in the realm of wellness try to get a grade B, C average over an extended period of time than go for the A, like we do in school. And then you slide to an F, and then you work really hard for an A, and you don't sleep, and you pass the exam. It's the same thing with wellness. We come out of the gate and we're just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to meditate every day. And I'm going to do this every day. And then we can't sustain and we break down and we slide right to a D and an F. So those baby steps that you're taking really matter. I'm really proud of you. It's kind of an every minute, every hour thing sometimes, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Saying that, you're right. You can't have expectations about it, because for a perfectionist, once one little slip, one little, you know, failure, and then you're just throwing the towel and don't do anything. It's kind of insane, actually.
Yeah. And most of the time we're doing it to ourselves. When we ask our family and friends, they're like, oh my gosh, we never had those expectations on you. It's interesting how, you know, obviously somewhere along the way we felt that those were our standards. But yeah, you know, I wanted to share that in the book, many of the authors put in some words of wisdom. And I'd like to share yours. Is that okay? It doesn't, I'm going to do it anyways, girl. So just bear with me. So these are Sharla's words of wisdom. If I knew then that I was created perfectly, and that by following my heart, I would always stay on the right path, the peace and joy I had as a child would have continued and there would have been no mayhem. I would have not used alcohol as a coping mechanism. I would not have listened to others at the expense of myself. And now that I have the wisdom that only comes by way of dealing with mayhem endured, I go to the lengths to preserve my sobriety, serenity, and spirituality. And my life is full of miracles. That's beautiful.
I should have put perfectly imperfect. It's funny, we're talking about perfectionism and I put the word.
I know, I always say perfectly imperfect and imperfectly perfect because nobody's broken. Teresa, what are your thoughts when you heard Charlotte's story? I know you guys are kind of connected, obviously, behind the scenes here. You're actually the publisher. You work closely with Charlotte and her children's books here. So I know you guys know each other, but what are your thoughts with her personal story and where she is?
You know, when I started working with Charlotte, I had no idea. And when I had no idea what her history was. So, we don't necessarily walk into a room and say, hey, I'm Charlotte, I'm blah, 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 or I'm Teresa, I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, when you first meet people. In the 12-step rooms, that's a different story, though. That's where you end up eventually, like, being glad to be in those places. And I've had my experience with 12-step programs, too. So I kind of felt, I do still feel a bit connected to Sharla in knowing her history. You know, we work together on a much different level, and it doesn't become part of the conversation. But when I read her story in Mayhem to Miracles, I was like, oh, okay, good for you. Like, I am so, like, the fact that you have, Charlotte, the fact that you have four children through all of the mayhem that you lived through, and you raised your head above the mess, the mayhem, and have recognized the miracles in your life, and there are so many, that it just warms my heart, and I feel blessed to be a part of your journey, you know, and to be able to have the opportunity to work with you. You know, I my issue is not alcohol. My issue is food. And I went into the 12-step rooms because I couldn't stop eating. And, you know, and I still struggle with that. I still struggle with that. It's different. You can't take, you know how they say, like, we can take the girl out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the girl? You can take somebody out of the 12-step rooms, but you can never take the 12 steps away from those who have been there. Because it always has, regardless of how far you might stray, you always recognize your higher power. You always know that God, I call God, is in your life and working in one way or another, even though we don't necessarily see it at the time, in one way or another, God is working for the greater good of all of us. And that warms my heart. Yeah. And your kids are awesome. Your kids are awesome. The best thing you asked Sharla about, and I don't want to take this over here, but you asked Sharla about the kids and how they do with the things that she's expanding. Well, I love the little video that of who was it, Greer, that did the video with the Ned the Narwhal and the Love Llama. It was just awesome. Just awesome. They're like in it. They're into it. They're in it. They're helping her do the creative thing. And the products that will come out of this and the things that kids will have out of this whole experience of the Love Llama and Friends are just awesome. I just can't wait to see what's next for you, Sharla.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Aww. Yeah, it's hard. We can't teach those lessons. And I mean, you can read them in a book, but it's not going to be authentic. And, you know, to go through what you went through and to come over the other side of it and still to be very transparent and authentic about still, it's not easy. And to just say, you know, this is it, guys. And to be honest with you, I mean, I'll just say it like it is, to still have your children with you, to have had a job and still have an option to be in corporate America and the things that you have worked through is amazing. That's high functioning, girlfriend. I mean, that is to be commended. And talk about balance and talk about determination. And now you get to come out the other side with lots of stories and a teamwork with, you know, you got four people on your executive branch those four kiddos. Yeah. They're going to think they're running the show here in no time, aren't they? That's awesome. If you were to go back, and I know people don't like to do this, but I still ask because it doesn't mean that I'm asking you to change, you know, a whole path in your life or we wouldn't be here today. I'm not saying that, but what would you say if you went back and you just said, you know, hey, if I'd have caught this or I'd caught this, I might have done this a little bit differently. What would you say if I gave you a magic wand that you might switch a little?
I would go back and not be so hard on myself.
Nice.
Really, it just comes down to that. Nice. I think if I just accepted the imperfection, which, you know, it's always going to happen. We're human. So we're deal with and to be able to ask for help. That's really hard for me. If I had asked for help sooner, life would have looked different, but you know, there's a reason why I didn't. I had to get to the desperate, you know, they call it the gift of desperation. Right. I had to get fully to the pain and suffering in order to seek help. Would have been nice if I could have sought help earlier, but
I agree. That was what my words of wisdom was for the book. The biggest lessons I've had in the last few years, especially as an entrepreneur, is that I would have asked for help sooner, because you just kind of, for me, coming out of corporate America was like, you know, I'm going to do this all on my own. I'm not going to report to anybody. I'm not going to ask for approval. I can do the accounting and the marketing and all that stuff. And then you're like, oh, whoa, when I do all this other crap, I can't really do what I love to do and what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm right there with you, Charlotte, as I would have asked for help and not found a fault in that, because, you know, we're wiser in groups, you know, there's power in many. Find your tribe sooner, kind of thing. Man, I think that's amazing. I agree with you there. All right, Jacob's going to take us to commercial, and then we're going to come back. We're going to dive into Teresa's story because she's going to give us a little glimpse to the other side. What? Oh my gosh. Yes. So you guys, you are listening to the Coach Peggy Show, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Do you ever wonder why you are put here on this earth? What your soul is being called to do? What brings you the greatest satisfaction? Tune in to the Personal Wisdom Show with Mita Johnson on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where she will help you learn to really lean in and trust the wisdom and power within you, creating a success you never thought possible. If you want to grow this wisdom inside you and understand your life purpose, visit PersonalWisdomCoachingNow.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
And we are back just like that. I don't know what you were doing during commercial. Were you getting chocolate chip cookies? I don't know. Maybe you were coming home with traffic in California. I don't know, but you're back. And Teresa's with us. We were just talking to Charlotte about her story and amazing story and working through corporate America, you know, our lawyers out there. I love our lawyers. I'll tell you what, talk about a tough year with COVID in the last couple of years. Attorneys, I don't know if you guys know this out there, the statistics are true. That is one of the professions with the highest suicide rates, is law. And part of it is, it's funny, Charlotte, we were talking about perfection syndrome, but a lot of it does lie within the construct of what people, you know, you're going to be an attorney. Oh, I'm an attorney. And, you know, with COVID kicking in and stuff like that, and people are at home and cutting their hours back and trying to deal with some of their, I don't want to say self-image, but their expectations and stuff. So it's been tough. So thank you. Charlotte's still here. And we got Teresa. You guys, Mayhem to Miracles is the book we're talking about. It's a compilation of 30 authors, 30 stories, very inspirational. You can grab that book anywhere, take it to the doctor's office, 30 stories, pick it up. You know, I don't know if you're like me, you start reading at night and then like 2 minutes later you sleep. And then the next night you pick it up and then you're on page 10 again. This does it because you can actually get through a story, Peggy, before you go to sleep. It's a lovely thing. Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. So, and it's a great gift for the holidays, honestly, because again, you're talking about 30 different stories, but the commonality is the transformation, battling the triumphs, coming out through the mayhem and all the miracles, whether it is, you know, relationships or love or alcoholism, or we've had some amazing shows. So that's what we're here to talk about. And we've got Teresa who is coming up. Welcome, Teresa Bilardi. How are you?
I'm awesome. Coach Peggy, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. Doing good. You like my little backdrop matching the cover of our book?
I love it. I love it. I love the hot air balloons. And if anybody gets a chance, you know, upstate New York in Glens Falls, they, at the third weekend in September, they actually shut down the airport for an amazing hot air balloon festival.
Know it, sister. I know. So everybody thinks it's Napa Valley. I don't even know really where it is. I have a bunch of these backdrops that I use, travel around with them, whether it's avocados or a gym, but I've kept this one up for a while doing these interviews. All right. Teresa's story is really cool. It's actually called A Little Glimpse of Heaven. And we're going to hear a little bit of a story about her close-knit family and her relationship with her mama. Let me read you her bio real quickly. Teresa Bilardi is an author, speaker, publisher, and potter. Yes. She does some ghost, you know, those pottery things, amazing pottery. She's committed to making a difference in other people's lives. She uses her gifts to help people get their stories told in books. Teresa is a publisher, you guys, and doing some amazing things. Frank Vicari, he has a book that's coming out. You guys did a book for him, right, Frank?
Yes.
Good old Frank was on my show one time. That's awesome. Welcome, Teresa.
Thanks, Peggy. It's great to be here.
I want to hear all about your story because, you know, I have my mom passed a couple of months ago in August, and she passed away with severe MS. It happened gradually but quickly. And I was reading your story. I read it when the book came out, and I was reading your story, and my mom hadn't passed away when I first read it. And then it came out and I was reading it and I was like, whoa, it is so similar to what literally happened with the experience I had with my mom in the last few hours. So take us away and explain to us kind of what your mom had and the experience that you had with her.
Okay. So my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer back in the early 90s, I guess. And she had quite the journey. She lost her lung. One of her lungs to cancer was completely taken out. There's a whole story around that I don't think I told. The doctor who took that lung out, I went to her with all the appointments. My dad was so upset about the diagnosis that he really couldn't listen. So my mom would say to me, "Can you come with us?" And the surgeon that she was going to that would take her lung out said to me, "I know you." And I was like, "My sister works in the hospital. Maybe she looks very much like me. Maybe it's because you know her." He said, "No, I know you." And I was like, "Okay, I believe you. I believe you." And so after the surgery was done, he came to me and he said these words. He took me by the hands. He said, we thought it was only in one lobe, and it had metastasized to the other lobe, and it actually was had been part of the pericardium, which is the tissue around the heart. He said another surgeon would have closed her up. He said, and these are his exact words, and then looked me straight in the eyes. Then I remembered what I was supposed to do. And I got it all. And she's going to be fine. And I was like, if that wasn't a God moment, I don't know what was. That man was put in my life to save my mother's life all those years ago. Fast track forward, she did have metastasis to the other lung. They took a part of that out, and then lo and behold, it had metastasized to various parts of her body. So my story in this book begins actually several days before she passed away. And she had been a couple months before that, she had told me she was done with treatment. She didn't want to have treatment anymore. And so I live in Pennsylvania. She lived on Long Island. I grew up on Long Island, and I was about 3 hours away. And when I realized it was time for hospice to come in, I left here and went there. I was supposed to spend 3 days to get everything set up. I had all the appointments arranged and whatnot. And she was gone in the time that I went there. But the transition going from this life to the next held a vision that I will never forget. But my family was like, they were, we should get her more treatment. We should do this. We should do that. And so she sat me down. She said to me, Teresa, I'm tired. And she was my best friend, my mom. She said, I'm tired and I know where I'm going and I'm ready. And she said to me, please do your best to keep the family together. And with that, I rolled my eyes. She looked
good at luck, me. Good luck, sister.
She said, I said, Mom, she said, I know. I have a sister who's a huge challenge. And so she said, I'll tell you what, you work on her from this side and I'll work on her from the other side. I was like, that's so cool. All right, Mom, we got a deal. So, and that was like 3 days before. And so she had a list of people she wanted to talk to, and she wanted to say her goodbyes to, and she wanted to think, and I did my best to get everybody there. And 2 nights before, my sister-in-law had just had major surgery, and they live upstate New York. It was a 5-hour drive, and the doctor was deciding whether or not my sister-in-law was going to be able to travel. And we got word that they were on their way the following morning. And so that night before they arrived, I'm sitting in her room and we're having a conversation. We're just talking. And all of a sudden, she's off in another world. She's looking in the upper left-hand corner of the room where the wall meets the ceiling. And she's like, she's in her own world. She's having a party. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Because she started giggling. And then I realized what was happening. And I said to her, okay, Mom, who's here? And she turned and she looked at me and she named every single one of my deceased relatives, from my father to my great grandmother on both sides of the family, mostly on her side of the family. And I said to her, Mom, what are they doing? And she said, they're cooking the pasta for the party. I'm going home. And so in that moment, I was like, how can I be sad about this? Will I miss her? Absolutely. Do I miss her? Absolutely. Every day. But that minute that she told me that, in my mind, I was transported to back when I was a little kid and we were having Sunday dinner at either my grandmother's house next door, my house, or my Aunt Rose around the block. And we were having dinner with all of our family. And then after dinner was over, they both had extra kitchens in their house. I don't know what it is with these Italian women, but two kitchens in the house. The party happened in one kitchen upstairs. And then when the guys were then and the booze comes out and the cigars and the cards and everything else. And I'm a little kid, and I'm now going with my mother and my grandmother and my aunt and my great grandmother downstairs to the other kitchen and making the pasta for the next week's dinner. So when she said they're cooking the pasta for the party, I was in the kitchen with my, I'm in my mind, I am in the kitchen with all my relatives making pasta and loving every minute of it. And that was probably one of the best conversations I had with my mother. That one and the one a couple of days before with my sister, the day before actually it was, with you work on it from this side, I'll work on it from the other side. That was just awesome. So, yeah.
I love that you, first of all, I really appreciated the fact that she wanted to get together the people that she wanted to share stories or say goodbye or whatever. I mean, she had a process. She had it laid out, like, help me do this. And then secondly, kudos to you that you did do that. What I love about your story is the conversation that you guys had with each other and reminiscing and talking about the stories. I mean, luckily her mind was with you and you were able to do some of that. And toward the end, it's always hard because we try to keep them comfortable and sometimes we can't have those intellectual type conversations. So you did a really good job of having those. You know, your wisdom in the book says that if I knew what I know now, I would spend more time with my loved ones. When I was younger, I would never have imagined what life would be like with those who were so dear to me living so far away. I grew up in a close-knit neighborhood, and as we moved away to our individual lives and new beginnings, the intentions to go back home was there, but the ability to do so always wasn't. I would spend more time with people I love and forgive those who couldn't or wouldn't be there. Isn't that amazing that we do when somebody passes, we're just like, it's like a wake up call and kind of smacks us and we go, are you, my trick question here is, did it really, you know, because sometimes when we're in that moment, we really have that sincerity and we're like, that's it. I'm going to go back and I'm going to spend time with family once a month or whatever. Has that steered you to make more choices to spend time with family and friends?
Yes, it has. As a matter of fact, I'm about to lose my mind when I tell you that I'm probably going to have 20 people in my house for Thanksgiving. Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. My son, you know, here's the thing. You get busy, you're away. I mean, I'm 3 hours from Long Island. My niece is in Virginia. My brother is upstate New York. You know, my two sisters are on the island. You know, my nieces, they're like all over the place. And so My son, you know what really prompted me to, more than anything, my son came to me one day and he said to me, Mom, I feel like an orphan. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, you're my only family. I don't feel like I have family because we never see each other. And so that really put a dart in my heart, so to speak, because I was like, well, you know, let's do this. We'll do Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving was supposed to happen last year with COVID. Only my son and his girlfriend got COVID. My brother was in the hospital he has chronic COPD. He was in the hospital. So it never happened. And God bless my niece. She called me a few weeks ago and she said, Auntie, we didn't have it last year. Can we do Thanksgiving this year? And of course I said, yes. You know, she said, where are we going to have it? I said, we'll figure it out. Okay. So they are about to all come to my house for Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm hoping, and the last of my niece with her two boys is coming into town. My one sister is ill and she can't make it. And my other sister works in retail, but my brother will be here. His kids will be here. My nieces awesome. Will be here. Of course, my son. And I'm excited to have them. And yes, every chance I get to spend time. And I was better at going home before my mom passed away because she was the driving force. You know, she was the driving force. And she wanted to come before she... When I got back there to set up the hospice and everything, she said, let's go to Foxwoods. I want to play bingo. I want to play high stakes bingo. Let's go to Foxwoods. I'm like, Mom, really?
That's a good part of the story too, you guys. It's really cute, those determined. I don't want to even say, I'm probably going to be the exact same way. I'm a Yankee. I'm going to be, right down to the last thing. But she wanted to go to Vegas. She wanted to gamble. She wanted to go to bingo. She was good at it. She was a money winner. And your mom was just like, get me in my wheelchair. I want to go. That is, talk about spirit. You got some of that in you. So I'm going to hand you a magic wand. I'm going to take it from Charlotte. I'm just going to say to you, what would you do a little bit differently if you could go back with your specific story? Is there anything that you would have done at all?
In relationship to my mom, no. In relationship to my siblings, I think that, we all grow into the people that we were meant to be, but we don't necessarily have to disconnect the way that some of us do, And I would have made, although I made great effort to keep the family together, mm-hmm. and felt really guilty when some of them weren't playing the game the way that mom wanted it to be played. But at the same time, it's like I have to recognize that they are individuals. They have their own life and whatnot. And it's their choice as well as mine as to whether or not they want to be together or not.
That's right. Charlotte, what were your thoughts with Teresa's story? What did you feel?
Well, I mean, first of all, all the authors that have stories in here, I just respect so much, because to be vulnerable like that is, it's difficult. It really is difficult. Whatever your story is, for Teresa, it's such a personal story, and to I really respect Teresa having a good perspective, I guess I would say, about her mother's passing. Really to yes, of course, miss her, but not be sad about how, just seeing her mom was ready to go, and Teresa, you saw that, you recognized that, and you respected your mom and her wishes. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you.
Yeah. So do you feel her around? Silly question, I'm sure, for you.
All the time.
That's awesome.
All the time. I had a situation where there was somebody who I was trying to find. I was trying to find someone who had done an illustration for one of my authors, and there were pieces missing. And I reached out to a couple of people who had used the same person on Amazon. And she's the woman who I'm going to talk to you about is from Nigeria. And I didn't know how to say her name. And when we finally spoke on the phone, we didn't have success in getting that other, what we needed, but this is the blessing that came out of it. When we finally spoke on the phone, I said to her, how do you say your name? Is it Morenique? Tell me how you say your name. And she said, Morenike. And I was like, oh, can you say that again? Because I got chills, and I get chills every time I tell this story. Morenike. And I'm like, really? And she said, why is that such? I said, my mother's maiden name was Renicky.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was like my mom had put me together with this person, and just reminded me that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm talking to, somehow, some way, she's always there. Always.
Connected. Yeah. That's awesome. Good job.
Yeah.
Charlotte, I have a quick question for you, Charlotte. Tell us about your business or future, how people can find you, what your upcoming books are, what's in your path right now?
Well, since we have a series, it's an 8-book series, and we're hoping to get the third book out, Bob the Sloth Explores South America. Fingers crossed. The spring. Teresa knows how long it can take. Hopefully we can make that happen. We have the story pretty much ready to go, and kind of just getting our vision of the illustrations ready. But yeah, so we have our website, www.thelovellamaandfriends.com. two L's for love, just like our Gmail, everything. It's two L's for love, just like it's two L's for llama. That's important to know.
Yes.
We just published the second book in the summer, Ned the Narwhal Voyages, the Five Oceans. So as you can tell by the titles, we're just really focusing on educating the children, you know, not, of course, fun stories that are beautiful illustrations, but also, hey guys, let's learn some geography. Let's learn social emotional learning, which, you know, there's a deficit after the pandemic with kids not having that socialization going on. So, and you know, who doesn't want to read and talk about animals?
Right?
Right.
I know, I'm really proud of you to be sparking into that right brain and trying to balance work, balance the kids, balance self-care and self-love and be creative. I mean, that's a lot in the toy box to be playing with. So you better take care of yourself or I'm going to get in my car. We'll come find you. You better take care of yourself. You ask Teresa, you don't want me to come find you, girl. I'll tell you, I'll take care of you.
Yeah, self-care has to come first. I remind myself of that constantly. I'll think about you, Coach Peggy, when I
I got your back. Teresa, what's in the front for you, the forefront for you? Where can people find you?
So where can they find me? TeresaVillardi.com, conversationsthatmakeadifference.com. You can find me at bookendeavors.com, where you will see Charlotte and Monica's two books there as well. And soon to come, dun, 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 something
so
from
excited,
our illustrious coach over here. Yeah.
I was going to announce that tonight, actually.
What?
I was actually going to give a little insight into that little book series that I'm going to be doing with my...
Well, let me not steal your thunder, girl.
Oh, hey, just snap, crackle, pop away. I wasn't meaning to... We're coming back to you. So Tanner, my 27-year-old and I are going to be writing multiple series books, and it is so amazing. It's going to be teaching lessons, and the series are going to be called Tanner's Tales, T-A-L-E-S, and it's going to be about truth and accountability and love and emotion and support. A mother's view with Tanner's take on it, like, Mom, that's not really what the story was about. So it's going to be just a mother-son thing. I'm super excited. And I've got a compilation book coming out with Dr. Marcus Vetstein that we're going to be putting together some authors and working through some all things wellness type stuff there. Super excited about that. But Teresa, what are you going to be doing personally or professionally in the next couple of months?
So I am actually going to be compiling a bunch of the stories that I've done in compilation books. And there are many, many, many of them into my own book with some of the stories that have been out there in various places, books, magazines, so forth. And I also I'm working on a book that uses the pottery as an illustration for transformation, because, you know, you start out with just clay, a lump of clay, and in the end, you end up in a gallery somewhere. So, you know, that's coming too. So that, you know, I believe that God gave me that message a long time ago, because I didn't know that I knew how to. I came with that gift. We all come with these gifts. I believe Charla came with a gift of illustration in her. She created all the characters for the books that are out there and the books that are coming. When the first time I touched clay, my teacher said to me, "You've done this before." And I'm like, "Well, not in this lifetime." You know, but it was there. We come with these gifts, and it's our job, I believe, to use those gifts to make the world a better place. And Charlotte's doing that through her books. You're doing that through what you do. I'm doing that through what I do, and also helping other people get their stories told in books. I mean, I even had a 10-year-old publish a book. So amazing. Amazing.
I think that's the biggest lesson in doing these. You know, most of my radio shows are, I do have a lot of authors on, and my business is all things wellness. So 24 spokes are the wellness wheel. So it doesn't matter whether it's finance or we're talking organization, exercise, integrity, whatever. So, but the majority of my guests either have a story to tell, which we all have stories to tell, or they're authors. And I, you know, last year I did Crappy to Happy series and had multiple authors on. And then this year is obviously Mayhem to Miracles. But you guys, if you do not think you're an author, do not think that you're not an author. You have a story to tell, and the way that you tell it, and the voice that you tell it, and the way you put pen to paper is so important. And everybody has a lesson. It does not matter what your story is, your transformation. You could be in the middle of it, in the very, very middle of it. And it could be five stories that you're going to end up telling, or five books that you're going to tell. But we have to share our stories. We have to be transparent now more than ever. Take advantage of social media, take advantage of the airwaves, become more one than not. We're so much alike, believe it or not. And we've got to tell some stories. We've got to give it a platform for mental health to be discussed instead of just saying we're discussing it. Right, Charlotte? We've got to beat this perfection syndrome, take some pressure off ourselves, love ourselves, and not look at it as selfish. Self-love and self-care is not selfish. You know, I'm Gen X, and I've got to get, that's kind of how we grew up. It's like, get up, go to work, shut your mouth, do a perfect job. Like, what are you talking about? You need a day off, or you're not feeling good, or you just kept going. And we've got to teach our kiddos, we've got to do a better job at that. All right, you guys, anything else that you want to share with anybody? Any calls to action? Anywhere else we can find your amazing brilliance?
I think I want to say too that, you know, you talk about what you're about telling the stories, you're also leaving a legacy for your children. I mean, when I think about, you know, how involved Charlotte's kids are in putting together, you know, the characters and the stories and whatever, that's your legacy, Charlotte. That's your kids' legacy as well. You know, I mean, they had their hands in that, and they will remember they helped their mama do this work, you know? So yeah, it's all good stuff.
And you know, I really respect what Charlotte is doing and being transparent with the kiddos. You know, Teresa, it reminds me of the book that I'm going to put out with Tanner here. I wrote it 20 years ago, but what's the most interesting thing to me, you guys out there, we all have a perspective. We're all looking at the same ball in 20 different directions. And if we tell the stories, especially with family and friends, even if it's the same story around having Thanksgiving next week, share your stories, agree to disagree. I don't care what it is. Watch your presentation style. Be nice to each other. Be kind. Appreciate everybody's perspective. I will not be coming at you next Tuesday. We're actually going to have the week off. I want to say that we're going to come back on the 30th. My guests on the 30th, got three more authors that are going to be joining us, and they are going to be Jill Landry, Judy Lemon, Jill Ammon, all the J's. Ja, 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 ja. I'm going to be bringing all the J's on board. And then we're going to have, I'm going to do a one-on-one with James Redfield, Mr. Celestine Prophecy, New York bestseller. We're going to go at it December 7th. So listen, I'm so glad that you guys were here. You can find any of the shows, anything that you want to ask me, more stuff than you'd ever want to know about me at peggywilms.com. This is where you go. Blech. So glad that you were here. Love you guys. And you can reach out to me, peggy@allthingswellness.com. And we will be back at you on November 30th.
You've been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness. Not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass, and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.